Welcome to worship at Lutheran Church of the Cross on this Epiphany of Our Lord Sunday, as we celebrate the revealing of God through the Magi following the star and finding the baby Jesus there in Bethlehem. I pray that your Christmas season was uplifting, even though I know during this time of COVID, I'm sure lots of things were different than past years. But we continue our celebration of what God was doing and is doing in the world. At 11 a.m. this morning, we will be gathering in the Zoom room for the Holy Communion, and then for fellowship time, and also sermon feedback. And I apologize for the mix-up last week when we did not have the room open. As we gather here, we acknowledge that we are in the traditional territory of the Treaty 7 peoples, the Nitsitapi, including the Siksika, Pekani, Kainai, Sutna, and Diyahe, and the Nakota people, the Chiniki, Bearspaw, and Wesley nations. Also, that this is the traditional homeland of the Métis Nation of Alberta, Region 3. We acknowledge this as a reminder both of the privilege we enjoy as a result of unjust current and historic systems, and of the imperative to bring greater justice for a shared and sustainable future. Let us begin our worship.
Pure and holy, resting in a
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Please join me in this opening litany. Jesus, the bright morning star, shines light in the world. By day and night, he shines for all to see. Jesus was born in the midst of injustice and poverty, that the world may see the justice and richness of God. God so loved the world that God sent Jesus, so that all who believe in him may not perish but have eternal life. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the light of our lives. Sing to God a new song, a song of hope, joy, and peace around the world. Let us pray. O God, on this day you revealed your Son to the nations by the leading of a star. Lead us now by faith to know your presence in our lives and bring us at last to the full vision of your glory through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen.
Excuse me. The first reading is from the prophet Isaiah, the 60th chapter, beginning at the first verse. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried in their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian at Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading for this morning is from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation. As I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I have become a servant, according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have received to God in boldness and confidence through him in faith. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear now the Epiphany story from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Glory to you, O Lord. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When the wise men had heard the king, they set out. And there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You are a star in the night. You are a star in the night. So shine, shine, shine where you are. You are a star in the night. Right before I began grade 11, our family moved from Pine Bluff, Arkansas to Austin, Texas. And once we got to Austin, I started attending the youth group at St. Martin's Evangelical Lutheran Church there in downtown Austin. And in that youth group, there is a star that appeared to me. Her name was Rose. She was one of the adults that worked in the youth group. And from the very beginning, she just welcomed me, treated me like I belonged there. And I would say, just related to me as, what she saw in me was who I was as a child of God. And she immediately kind of pushed me into being part of their leadership team and kept, I was scared to death to speak in public. And I remember that we were doing a play or something for the congregation. And she just said, "Oh, here, you can be the main character." It's like, no way. And she would just keep pushing me, because she saw in me really a bundle of potential. And in the darkness I was living in, and I kind of do this because in my head, I was just so full of insecurities, not sure I really belonged, very uncertain of myself, and really living in anxiety and fear. And for me, she made real the grace of God, just unconditional acceptance, but also challenging me to explore and develop the gifts that she saw or suspected might be in me. And she was a star that shined into my darkness and revealed God to me, revealed God's grace, God's love, God's forgiveness. She is a star that's shone in my life. In our reading today, we have the story of the wise men, who probably the best word for them actually, they were astrologers. They believed that by studying the stars in the sky, that it revealed what the god or gods were up to. And when they saw this star, this new star appear, they interpreted that as the coming of a new king being born into the world. And so they followed it. And that star led them first to Jerusalem, but more importantly, led them on to the very place where Jesus was born. And there, they opened up the treasures that they'd lugged with them, probably from Persia, over 100, maybe even thousands of miles, to bring them there and presented him with gold, frankincense, and myrrh, treasures befitting a king, befitting one who was deemed to be wise, one who was seen as a healer. That star was a miracle. It was a miracle. It appeared, and it was amazing. It was surprising. It was wonder-filled. And it led them to Jesus and revealed to them what God was up to in the world. I'm going to talk about miracles a little bit. Back then, that was clearly a miracle. But that was 2,000 years ago. I'm not aware of new stars like that appearing. But if we step back for a second and think about the change from the world then to the world now, we live in a miraculous time. Absolutely miraculous. And yet, it's also a very cynical time. When I talk about miracles, I mean, one of the miracles we're talking about is how there's been a vaccine that's been, or not just one, but vaccines that have been developed to vaccinate us against COVID. That's a miracle. It's a miracle that it was invented. It was a miracle that it was invented so quickly. Right now, most of you, except for just a small handful of people, are seeing me through the internet. A bunch of digital zeros and ones, amazing technology, inconceivable even 100 years ago. We live in a miraculous time. On the other hand, we tend to not relate to it as very miraculous because we know, well, if you study, if you're a scientist, a research scientist, you actually know how they went about coming up with that vaccine. If you know digital telecommunications and computers and all that technology, you know how it works to be able to come to you over Zoom and YouTube and the internet and all that kind of stuff. And so, on one hand, it's miraculous. On the other hand, our very knowledge of science and technology helps us explain away all these miracles. And they go, yeah, they're nice, but we understand them. And yet, in this miraculous yet cynical time, I say we're called to be miracle workers. We are called to be miracle workers. It matters what we say and do. In this past week, we saw how it does matter what people say and do. I'm referring to the events that happened at the Capitol in Washington, D.C., how I would say what it is, it's the fruits of particularly one person's, but not just one, but primarily one person's use of language by what he says, what he did, and how it created darkness. And this darkness bore fruits of rioting, vandalism, even death and destruction, injury. And it shocked us. It shocked us that this could happen. But if you're a student of history, you know that what people say and what they do, but even just what they say, can create these kinds of violent acts and cause this kind of darkness to be manifest in the world and to work against that what we know to be our better selves. In this world of miraculous world and a cynical world, we're called to be miracle workers. What I mean by that is people are doing things all the time. And especially if it's somebody I don't know and they give me a call on the phone and want to talk to me about a product or a service or something, I tend to be pretty cynical. The question that comes up in my mind is, what's in it for them? Why are they doing this? And in particular, I'm on the guard against, this is some way that they're trying to get money from me. That's a pretty cynical outlook to have, isn't it? When people call me or people knock on the door, it just, I've just kind of become a culture to do that. And that cynicism is there. And this morning, I would say, though, it's a miracle when the answer to the question of why are you doing this, if the answer is because the God I know calls me to do this. It's a miracle when the answer to the question of why are you doing this is because the God I know calls me to do this. There's a group of people that have been gathering, I think, a couple of times a week and maybe a little bit less because some of the schools are shut down. But they make sandwiches to go to hungry children. It would not surprise me if the answer they give is to why are you doing this? In some form or fashion, their answer is because the God I know calls me to help feed the hungry. Each year we make donations and send money to Canadian Lutheran World Relief that goes to people that we don't know, that we haven't seen, that live nowhere close to us quite often. In fact, across the world. Why do we do this? Because the God we know calls us to care for the poor and hungry and impoverished all around the world. When you lend a listening ear to someone, they may wonder, why are you listening? What are you trying to get out? If your answer is, because the God I know calls me to do this, that is a miracle. Jesus, God, throughout the ages, has always used miracles to draw people to God, to reveal who God was. Yes, the star and the night was a miracle that led the Magi to Bethlehem. But from the very beginning, if you'll recall, God called Abraham years, thousands of years ago, and said, Abraham, or Abram at the very beginning, leave behind your country and trust me and I will give you a promised land. If you ask Abram, why are you doing this? Because the God I know calls me to do this. We live in a weary, in a dark-filled world where people are waiting for miracles. We are called to be miracle workers. We are called to do the work, to worship, to pray, to study, to get our hearts right. So that when we say things, and so that when we do things, we are doing them out of a calling that God has given us to bring peace and love and grace and forgiveness and service to the world. Why are you loving God and loving your neighbor? Because the God we know calls us to do this. And when we are motivated and are driven by that motivation, we are miracle workers. And just like that star in the sky 2,000 years ago, God can use the miracle of our faithfulness, the miracle of our service, the miracle of our love, of our forgiveness, all of that to reveal what God is up to in the world and who God is. You are a star in the night. You are a star in the night. So shine, shine, shine where you are. You are a star in the night. Amen. Let us confess our faith using this creed of darkness and light. We believe in God, robed in splendor, veiled in mystery, ruler alike of darkness and light. We encounter God in Jesus Christ, who was tortured and put to death, but whose radiance could not be quenched, whose touch brings a blaze of color to a dull, drab world, reviving the weary, healing the wounded, dazzling the satisfied. We walk with God, guided by the light of God's loving Spirit, who enters the shadowed places of our hearts and leads us into truth and life. We wait for God and for the fulfillment of God's promises, for the time when the darkness will hold no fear and the light will no longer blind, but creation will be made whole once more and God's peace will reign forever. Amen. Joining our voices with the song of the angels, let us pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Glorious God, fill your church with joy. Let your faithful people live as beacons of your redemption. Give wisdom and courage to your church, that it may speak with boldness and confidence, even when words of mercy are met with scorn. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Show us your faithfulness in the rising and setting of the sun. Place wonder into the hearts of those who search the skies and explore the heavens. Curb waste and pollution, that all might have clean air to breathe. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Bring all nations and rulers to the splendor of your dawn. Raise up advocates who champion the cause of exploited and vulnerable people. Inspire leaders to be generous with abundance, that all people might live in stability and freedom. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Come quickly with your healing power to all who seek love, support, and restoration. Dispel fears and shadows. Restore broken relationships and mend broken hearts. Bring relief to those who are sick or struggling, especially Gemma, Raymat, Dave, Yvonne, Gil and Elsie, Patrick, Lynn, Jeff, Ella, Marlene, Edie, Dirk, Lorna, Sherry, Dave, Sheila and Jim, Randy, Bill and Ruth, Devona, Colin, Carter, and for those who mourn, with special member of the Wells family. Give them all the healing and comfort that they need. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Send a traveling mercies upon all who journey home by other roads. Guard refugees, immigrants, and asylum seekers. Protect families fleeing conflict in their homelands or abuse in their homes. Tend to those who have no place to lay their heads. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. I invite you at this time to add intercessions that are near and dear to your heart and mind. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. According to the boundless riches of Christ, you draw all your saints, from the least to the greatest, to your heavenly places. As you created all things, make all things new again in the splendor of your glory. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of mercy, come quickly to us with grace upon grace as we lift these and all our prayers to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share the peace with those that you are gathered with. And even if you're alone, peace be with you. May this time be a peace, and may you experience God's presence throughout these very solitude times. Again, this is the time where we normally pass the offering plate. First of all, thank you very much for your generosity and for your faithfulness in giving. It really allows us to continue and to move forward as we discern and practice what ministry looks like during this COVID time. Again, if you're not used to giving, there is a donate button on our website, or you can drop off the offering here at the church office. Let us now listen to a musical offering for the offertory.
Plenty comes, the trees shall clap their hands. with springs. The hills and mountains shall break forth with singing. We shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace, as all the world in wonder echoes shall. Once forlorn, find wilderness reborn. Hope blooms in a weary world. The promised green of Eden comes. The trees shall clap their hands. The dry lands gush with springs. The hills and mountains shall break forth with singing. We shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, you revealed the incarnation of your Son by the brilliant shining of a star. Shine the light of your justice always in our hearts and over all lands, and accept our lives as the treasure we offer in your praise and for your service. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Just a reminder that we will be gathering in the Zoom room at 11 a.m. And then afterwards for fellowship and for the sermon talk back. A blessing for us all. Almighty God, who sent the Holy Spirit to Mary, proclaimed joy through the angels, sent the shepherds with good news, and led the Magi by a star, bless you this day through the Word made flesh. Amen.
Spirit, please set our hearts on fire.
in peace. Share the gift of Jesus. Thanks be to God.